Domingo Santana, ooh, I wanna add you to my roster. In Roto, replacing Gio Soto, Giolito, and Brito, baby, where'd my fab go? Near the Florida Keys, there's a place in Miami, that's where you wanna be to get ahead of your league. If you put Posey at sea, he'll help in points or OBP. Heath will approve, cause he's under 30, cause Heath's an ageist on the podcast. Mazzara and Parra project to Amiwara, Herrera, Cabrera. Don't let the bait that scare ya, Machado or Bono or no.
It's Monday. We begin week 12. This is the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast, and I want to be the first, the very first person to wish Heath and Scott a belated Happy Father's Day.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you very much. I had a fantastic day. Really could not have gone any better.
Okay, describe why so good.
I spent the entire day with my family. Mm-hmm. Watched a lot of sports.
Oh, a lot of sports. What a night, huh?
Spent like 3 hours at the pool doing almost nothing.
You're not even a Game of Thrones guy. You're not even a Game of Thrones guy. You could have had that going for you, too.
How many hours are in your day?
I woke up about 8 a.m. and went to bed probably right around midnight. So I guess I had 16 hours yesterday.
That's a full day.
Yeah, I did. There wasn't really any time of not doing anything, but everything I was doing, I enjoyed doing.
Good for you. Scott, how about you? How was your Father's Day?
It was good. It was good.
Scott's not quite as cheery as I am today.
No.
Which might be why I'm so cheery.
Oh, really? You take delight in my suffering.
Hey.
I think maybe suffering is a bit of a strong word for this situation.
My aggravation.
Okay.
My aggravation.
Aggravated Scott is the best Scott.
You know, I come in here at Monday with like 3 pages of notes from weekend baseball. Whatever time goes into putting that together. Just to have on hand during this podcast.
Everybody knows. They hear it.
And yeah. And some Mondays they go strangely missing the moment I show up in here, and
hey,
this is one of those Mondays.
Listen, Scott, I got a couple things to tell you about all your missing notes. One, you're going to find out today that you don't need them, that you have them memorized enough, or you're good enough at this, you could ad-lib, so we're looking forward to that. And two, not that you don't ad-lib, but you'll be fine. And two, oh, I forgot number two. Oh, to email them. Start using a computer for them. You handwrite all your notes. If you just put them on a computer and email them or save the document, this won't happen.
Okay, you actually speak most of your articles now, right?
Like
Why don't you just speak your notes to yourself?
Speak my notes. Wait, yeah, he's referring to the voice recorder on the phone. Like on driving into work, I'll be...
You just go sit in the parking lot.
Sometimes I just sit in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. How weird.
Speak a column into the phone and then go back and transcribe it.
Oh, that's strange.
It's a fun Scott fact.
I guess I could see the thing about doing the notes on pen and paper as opposed to the computer is
they take forever.
You know, a lot of times I'm like sitting on the floor of my kid's room, like watching him play.
I'm throwing this excuse out because this predates your kid. Let's be honest here.
Well now it doesn't. Now, I mean, yeah, you're right. It does predate the kid, but now I don't really have a choice.
Okay, sure. All right, so listen, you can tell it wasn't that this kind of weekend with the most exciting storylines, or maybe it was and I just missed it, but there's plenty to talk about. Yesterday was an amazing day. The Braves swept the Mets. The Royals swept. Who were they playing again? The Tigers?
They didn't sweep them.
Oh, they didn't sweep them.
They won 3 out of 4.
They're winning. Okay, 3 out of 4. They're winning everything. Not so much the Yankees, but yesterday was also my birthday, and
what?
I put a Twitter poll up. I put a Twitter poll up not long ago, less than an hour ago, only one of my four Fantasy Baseball Today co-hosts posted on my Facebook wall for my birthday. Guess who it was?
And I'm so upset by this poll.
Right now, Heath is the clubhouse leader, 41% of the vote, followed by Al at 31%, Scott at 17%, and Chris at 11%.
So, I'm guessing it was Al.
You know what? I'm not going to reveal it for like another half hour. Let's see how the poll evolves here.
If I'm guessing it was Al, you know it wasn't me.
I thought it was the easiest poll in the history of polls.
Me too.
Because there's only one person that's really nice enough to do that.
Okay, you just gave it away. Al is the only one who posted on my wall, and he somehow won the vote, and that really bothers me. Hopefully Al can catch up.
I like that I only got 17%.
Well, you're killing Chris. You're killing Chris.
I hate Facebook for that reason. The obligation, everything's so public.
Like, man.
Now I just pretend like I don't go on Facebook anymore to avoid those obligations.
Well, you could have written me a note or something.
This is going to be a great show.
All right, we got to get going here. Let's get going here. We're 5 minutes in. We haven't talked baseball. Let's do it. Can you believe the following fantasy baseball fact? Tim Lincecum is owned in more CBSSports.com leagues than Cody Reed. Lincecum, 39% owned. Cody Reed, who made his major league debut on Saturday and struck out 9 Astros, is 32% owned. Can you believe it? What is this world coming to?
That's stupid. Next.
Yeah, I feel like maybe people didn't pay attention to the fact that Cody Reed was pretty much the Reds' best pitcher in spring training. And we were just kind of... Now, before this season, I don't know that anyone was quite as excited about him, but there's just no way. This is thinking that Tim Lincecum's going to be what he was 6 years ago? Probably not.
Well, he wasn't in his first start. It turned out okay, but 2 strikeouts in 6 innings. And
it was
still
a Matt Wisler
type
start.
Matt Wisler type start. That was just... I mean, that was just prodding me. Because you know I like Wisler.
Well, look, Cody Reed, 32% owned. And what you got to know about this start was it was his major league debut. And he gave up 2 runs in the first inning and then 2 runs in the 7th inning. And in between that, he was really good. So there were some positive signs there. 3 walks, 9 strikeouts. I didn't rush to pick up Cody Reed because I've seen a lot of pitchers have really good starts against the Astros and not be able to follow it up. I know, Scott, you picked up Cody Reed in one of our Roto leagues.
One league, yeah. And I left him out there in more than one.
Right.
I mean, you could debate whether or not this was really a good start. He gave up 4 runs and 2 home runs.
Yes.
I mean, 9 strikeouts and 7 innings. Those are both good, but there's just as many positives as negatives.
I don't know. I think for a guy making his major league debut against the Houston Astros, you say you get up 4 runs and 2 home runs. That's true, but all 4 of those runs came on the 2 home runs.
Okay.
So, I mean, it looks to me like a kid that struck out 9 in his debut and made 2 mistakes.
Yeah. I'm not down on him after this start. I'm just saying my interest hasn't really changed because of this start.
Yeah, it wasn't a rush to the waiver wire, go get Cody Reed start. But the other point is, like, I didn't even consider, I'm sure you guys didn't either, consider picking up Tim Lincecum.
No.
So who are people picking up? Let's go. Well, you know what? Before we go to the most added list, which is headlined by Wilson Contreras, who has seen 1 pitch in his big league career, and he hit it out of the ballpark last night, and he will start at catcher today for the Cubs. Some of the more intriguing ad drops that you guys made over the weekend, who were they?
I don't know about intriguing. Yesterday was so much fun that I missed my normal waiver wire day. So I did a lot of stuff late last night, which is a bad time at the end of the day on Father's Day, not making good decisions. And then this morning, a couple guys though that I like in a deeper league, I picked up Hector Santiago, who's got 2 starts, and one of them's against the Athletics, and the other one's against that Astros team that can be kind of boom or bust. I'm really struggling with a decision in one of our leagues. And I don't know whether to tell you guys about it or not, because I'm afraid you guys will go take him from me.
Okay.
I feel like Johnny Peralta, I want to add him.
Oh, I'm about to drop him.
Really?
In our 16-team league, yes.
Oh, wow. Well, I'll just wait until you drop him in that league and pick him
up.
Yeah,
I think I'm going to do it in the next, like, 10 seconds.
Awesome. I will pick him up then.
I can't find reason to get excited about Johnny Peralta. So what reason do you have?
Well, the guy I have playing shortstop right now is Eugenio Suarez. And I've got Peralta ahead of Suarez in my rankings.
that's fine. If you have that bad of a shortstop, I guess you can get excited about it.
I think there's a lot of people, like, Suarez has been kind of a borderline starting shortstop this year. I think there's a lot of people that have that, or at least two to three people in each league that have that bad of a shortstop.
Sure. Yeah. I'm not one of them.
All right. Well, hey, I'm going to give you a live action thing here. Okay.
Okay.
Because you and I are about to make shortstop transactions in the same exact league. Waivers are off. There are three shortstops who are available. One will be Johnny Peralta, because I'm going to add one of these next two people. Aledmys Diaz and Zach Cozart are both available. So you could have any of those two or Johnny Peralta. Aledmys Diaz, Zach Cozart, Johnny Peralta. Let's see who you want, not just in this league, but for any fantasy owner that wants a shortstop right now or is trying to evaluate those three. Diaz, Cozart, and Peralta. Who's your favorite?
Well, the problem is that I have Carlos Correa in that league where you just dropped him, but I would definitely pick up Johnny Peralta of those three.
Over those two?
Yes.
Scott, how about you? Diaz, Cozart, Peralta.
Actually, I think Peralta would be my last choice of the three. And I say that even when I have a league where Aledmys Diaz is my second shortstop. And, I'm on the verge of dropping him there because I don't think he has much value in a one shortstop league anymore. But I mean, clearly Peralta doesn't either. I still think Diaz is.
How many starting shortstops do you think there are? Because I feel like we're talking about a lot of guys that are borderline that you don't think have value in a one shortstop league. In a 12 team league, we need 12 of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think there's more than 12.
Okay. But none of these guys are among them.
If they are, they're at the very bottom.
They're not as good so far this year as Eduardo Nunez.
Exactly. I'd have to pull up my rank. I think a guy who has Nunez as a starting shortstop right now is just going to snicker at my Aledmys Diaz offer. You know, like he doesn't care. He's fine with Nunez. So
you've got like Nunez, VR, Addison Russell, those guys ahead of him?
I have. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So Machado, Correa, Bogart, Seager, Lindor, Desmond, Gong, Story, Tulo, VR, Diaz, Segura, that's the 12th shortstop I've named, Segura.
Okay.
Brandon Crawford's the 13th. Nunez. I mean, there's more than enough to go around in a 12-team league.
Now, this is Aledmys Diaz here. I mean, he was, you know, he's been a fantasy stud until a recent slump. And, you know, with these guys, everybody slumps. So how do you know it's not just him coming back to being irrelevant?
I don't. I mean, If I had Suarez as my shortstop, I'd be dropping him ahead of Diaz, but I don't, and I don't think he has trade value, and I need the roster spot. So I'm kind of just gambling on the idea that it's not just a slump, or that if it is, that I won't really miss him.
All right, how about you, Scott? Who were your favorite adds and drops this week?
Well, I tend to remember the ones that stand out more to me are the ones in the shallower leagues. I don't know why. Obviously, Michael Saunders, I made sure he was owned in every one of my leagues, and he was still available in two or three.
Wow. He's 84% owned now.
Yeah, after the three-homer game Friday. Matt Moore, after a second strong start, I made sure he was picked up everywhere. Because that's what I think you have to do with a player who you know has that much upside when he's showing it. Okay. Yeah, those are the ones I remember.
All right. I mean, then I'll help, you know, in the deeper leagues. I picked up Steven Moya. I picked him up, I think, on Friday after the Martinez injury. Not saying I'm starting him. I actually think I have to start him because I have some injuries, but, you know, certainly not a must start. That's a 5 outfielder, 12-team league. Albert Almora I picked up, and it looks like that might be a big mistake because I think Dexter Fowler might, you know, it's a good chance he goes on the DL. And earlier in the year when I was saying sell high on Dexter Fowler, part of it was injury. The guy gets hurt all the time. So he's got a hamstring injury. You know, you probably shouldn't start him, and they're talking about putting Fowler on the DL, but I don't know that Almora's going to get the at-bats because Coughlin got the start yesterday. So I just don't know.
I don't really get the Almora hype anyway.
Okay,
he's a good defender. I don't know. He seems like a poor man's Gerardo Parra to me.
I picked up Jake Odorizzi and Nate Eovaldi because I still believe in Nate Eovaldi. Yesterday's start wasn't that bad, even though the numbers were. And Odorizzi, I think you start him at home. You don't start him this week at Baltimore, but you start him at home. He's usually pretty awesome at home. And two guys I dropped. I'm done with Byron Buxton for now.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I did too.
Brett Gardner, man. I thought Brett Gardner was going to have such a huge week. Two games at Colorado, four games at Minnesota against terrible pitching. And I'm just not sure he's – I don't know if the wrist is still bothering him from the offseason, but he's having a terrible year, and I just don't get it with him. So see you later, Brett Gardner. All right, if there's nothing else, we can look at who the people are adding. The most added list, Wilson Contreras is 59% owned, up 39%. Sean Kelly is number two. That makes sense. And Whit Merrifield, as Heath would say, is number three at 41%, followed by Cody Reed and Doug Fister, who I believe is a two-star pitcher this week, but also just pitching very well, at least if you don't need the strikeouts. Yeah, Fister has the Angels, and he's at the Royals this week. So how about number one, Wilson Contreras, going to start today against John Lackey, but still a logjam at catcher for the Cubs, Heath. What's your take on Wilson Contreras, who spells his name with two L's, people, not one L in Wilson?
The 59% seems a little bit high to me because I really don't know that he's going to get enough playing time to be useful in one catcher leagues. He should be 100% owned in two catcher leagues. And I guess maybe if you're just putting him on your bench as a speculative add in a one catcher league, maybe that's okay. Maybe it's deep enough that you can do that. It's just kind of like what you were talking about with Almora, though. The playing time, unless you're one of the stars in Chicago, is going to be difficult to come by.
Were we saying this about Kyle Schwarber last year? And he just played his way into, well, he also played the outfield, so that helps.
Yeah, well, yeah, that I think we were saying this. And remember, Schwarber came up for like a week originally and then got sent back down. And I'd read one of the Cubs beat writers speculating they would take the same approach to Contreras. At least I think it was speculation and not fact. But as with any call-up, as with any big-time prospect who gets called up, maybe with an expiration date on his time in the majors, he can perform. He can erase that date with his performance. And so far,
like Jerks and Profar.
Yeah. So far, that's happened.
What do you make of this Whit Merrifield, who's second base eligible and outfield eligible, has a hit in all but three of his major league games, and one of those games was he just pinch hit in. So.
Yeah, I don't think that he can maintain a 400 BABIP. I think he's going to come down to earth at some point. But if you're in a deeper roto league, I don't know why you wouldn't put him in your roster and start him until it changes. Sure. And he's must own in AL only. He's must own in deep roto. And in standard roto, he's probably kind of borderline.
So would you rather own Whit Merrifield or Steve Pierce, who's 60% owned?
Pierce.
He's so under-owned.
He is. He may be the most under-owned player in baseball. He's batting like 340. Good strikeout-to-walk rate. And this is a guy who had a 950 OPS 2 years ago. So what gives people? Triple eligibility? What the heck?
Would you drop Joe Panik for Whit Merrifield?
I would not.
No.
Would that be a Panik move?
Oh, it would. That was a Panik move.
Yeah, it was.
That joke of yours.
That was so Wong, that joke. Hey, Colton Wong, ladies and gentlemen, he's back. Hey, I'm on fire.
You are on fire.
He's back, and he played center field he played the outfield. I don't know what he played on Saturday against a righty, sat on Sunday against a lefty. Also, it's possible that Aledmys Diaz is going to start hitting eighth against righties. If Colton Wong is really going to keep this up, but Colton Wong went down, hit well in the minors. Now he's playing the outfield. What's your take on Wong?
Eh.
I have a hard time getting very excited about it.
Let's see him hit in the majors.
Okay. Well, didn't he hit on, I think he got one hit on Saturday.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, that's huge. I don't remember, but also yeah. Randall Grichuk was sent down.
Yes.
That's bad news.
Yes. Well, it could be good news. If Wong's the beneficiary, I think it's bad news. But if it's a way to get Moss and Adams both in the lineup more often, shifting Piscotty to center field, then I think it could be good news. Because, I mean, Grichuk had lost his roster spot in a lot of fantasy leagues, I would assume, just based on performance, which was not good.
Bust.
Yep.
Tim Lincecum's number six on the most added list. James Paxton is number seven at 85%. We had an interesting discussion about Paxton last week and lack of an arsenal, but it totally makes sense to own him. Robbie Grossman, 37% owned, and then Michael Saunders, 85% owned. You guys still cool with Robbie Grossman? I think it was kind of a quiet weekend for him.
It was, and maybe it's the start of him coming back down to earth. I did add him in a couple leagues where walks matter, just because his walk rate is off the charts. And maybe it won't last, maybe I'll drop him next week, but I needed outfield help, and he seemed like one of the more interesting options out there, obviously Saunders being already taken.
I kind of view it the same. I mean, he's better, but I kind of view it the same way of what I said with Whit Merrifield.
Grossman.
Unfortunately, it looks like Grossman's already started to cool off.
One for his last 16. Now, he did have what would have been a bases clearing, probably bases clearing double on Thursday, I think, right into Ike Davis's glove. So, you know, numbers would look better if that ball had found some dirt or grass. Michael Saunders, yeah, I mean, he's a top 25 outfielder, and it's surprising with his slash line. He's probably performing on a per-game basis even better than that. Are we buying Michael Saunders? Is this legit?
I mean,
I'm not buying top 25 outfielder Michael Saunders, no.
Yeah, I mean, the fact he has like a 950 OPS, these are elite numbers. So, but at the same time, he's up to 15 home runs now. He's hitting left-handers even better than right-handers.
Yeah.
This is his first full season out of Seattle, a guy who had great numbers in his minor league career. It seems late for a breakout, but there might just be enough factors in his favor that I can't let him go unowned anymore, clearly.
I mean, the 37% hard contact rate is very encouraging, but I don't think that should lead to a 22% home run to fly ball rate. So the home runs pace is probably unsustainable. We know the batting average pace is unsustainable because he's got a 376 BABIP. I would be really surprised if he's like a must-start guy in three outfielder leagues. I think he's probably a fourth outfielder.
You know, the equivalent of Pittsburgh pitching, I feel like it's Toronto hitting. They just do a great job. They bring out the best in hitters. Valencia is a great example. Bautista's a great example.
Yeah, this is more... well, I don't think this is Encarnacion or Bautista, because in addition to their power breakthroughs, they had great strikeout-to-walk ratios, and Saunders doesn't. This isn't Chris Colabello either. Colabello was on the opposite end of the spectrum. But I don't know. I guess I'm hoping he has, like, I don't know. That sounds too high-end because Jay Bruce is performing so well this year. But what my expectations for Jay Bruce are what I'm hoping Saunders could be, which is probably like a fourth outfielder in a three outfielder league, like Heath was saying.
Okay, guys. You know, buying tickets online can be very frustrating. We've all been there. We've all been annoyed by it. Most sites make it complicated. Some of them have huge fees at checkout. But not SeatGeek. Go to SeatGeek.com. Download the free app as well. Save $20. More on that in a bit. Start using SeatGeek to buy and sell tickets. It's the only place I go now for tickets to games and concerts. Here's something kind of cool about SeatGeek. I opened up the app today, this morning. It shows me some of the upcoming events in my area and what the tickets are going to cost. So I can go to a Mets game for $11 because they're terrible and everybody's turning on them. I can go to a Yankees game for $12 because, same thing. Whitesnake. I'm not sure I'm going to see them, but that's kind of cool. Whitesnake is coming to town. How about that? So SeatGeek lets you know what you're missing out on. Also lets you know when prices are dropping for events. You can set alerts so you'll never miss a deal on SeatGeek. And there are no hidden fees at checkout, unlike with StubHub. I love that. And man, you see, the price you see is the price you pay. You're not surprised by a huge hike at the end of your transaction. An awesome offer that you better take advantage of. If you ever forget the offer code, please feel free to tweet me at Adam Azer, AIZER. But our listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. Download the free SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, click add a promo code, enter the promo code FANTASY. That's all caps, FANTASY. SeatGeek's going to send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. SeatGeek, everybody.
Yeah, it's awesome. I forgot two ads real quick. One, somebody actually dropped Hanley Ramirez. So I picked him up.
I've seen him dropped in a number of leagues.
He's going to have a very big week this week. He has crushed left-handed pitching this year, and he gets a lot of bad lefties. And then in a very deep league, if you need an outfielder just for this week, you got some DL problems. Seth Smith gets some bad right-handed pitchers, And he's had kind of a bad week this last week because they faced so many lefties and he didn't get to play, but he'll be back on the field and probably crushing it. He gets to start against Big Pelf tonight.
Oh, Pelfrey, you know, has not been pitching that badly. It's kind of shocking.
It's really frustrating.
It is. It is. Hey, what nickname do you like better for tonight's matchup? Strawshaw or Kirschberg?
I kind of like Kirschberg.
Do I have to?
Yeah, you do. You do. Okay. You didn't write on my damn wall, so you have to.
Yeah, I'm not even your friend on Facebook.
You know what?
You're not?
No.
I'm not Heath. Heath and I aren't friends either. On Facebook or in person.
Are you sure about that?
No,
I thought we became friends.
No, we're not friends.
Well, then I'm sorry. Would you have written on my wall?
I've never written on anyone's wall for their birthday in my life.
Okay, wow. So then the poll is still valid.
You know, I feel, do you feel like in retrospect, Adam wishing us a happy Father's Day at the start of the show was giving us one last chance to wish him a happy birthday in return?
Yeah, I don't know how I would have known it was his birthday.
It wasn't that, but it was my way of bringing the topic of making you feel guilty.
I don't feel guilty.
Not even a little.
I hope you had a happy birthday though, yeah. Adam. I just don't feel the need to cave to the societal pressure of announcing it to everybody on Facebook that I'm wishing you a happy birthday.
Even for me? Though?
No,
because it's me.
I'm not doing it for the benefit of you, though. I'm doing it for the benefit of everyone else who might be seeing it on Facebook. That's the issue.
Well, you know,
I don't know. I think people, especially people like Adam, get a lot of joy out of getting the notification like 84 times on their phone that somebody just wished them happy birthday.
No, that's the annoying part.
I really like when people say happy birthday to me on Facebook.
You do?
I'm not going to lie.
Oh, then you're such a hypocrite.
I know I am.
Oh, my gosh. I did have a good birthday, but I was like unreasonably upset by the Cavaliers winning last night. Like, I shouldn't have been, but I really did not want them to win.
I was very happy for Cleveland.
Why didn't you want them to win?
I don't like LeBron. I really, really don't like LeBron. But I can. But if you can't appreciate how amazing that man has played, like, freaking believable, and that we finally got the game we deserved. All right, some other standouts from the weekend. You know, I'm not really sure where to go with this. There were just a lot of performances that kind of stood out to me. Yordan Ventura, James Shields. I mean, James Shields given up 31 runs in 11 and a third in his last four starts. Before that, though, Trevor Rosenthal has been bad, and Sungwan Oh, did I say that right? He's getting
the
some
the final
love.
Boss. That's his nickname.
What is it?
The final boss, because he was a closer in Japan.
The final boss. Okay, yeah. Well, yeah. Sungwan Oh is getting picked up in some leagues. Do you think they'll make a change in St. Louis?
I don't know. Rosenthal's been pretty awful. It's kind of hard to imagine, but I think it's much more possible than I thought it was going to be at any point this season.
Yeah.
So how was that for a cop-out of an answer?
Okay, well, look, if you're desperate and you're speculating, Sungwan Oh, the final boss. What other stuff stood out to you? Like, Yordan Ventura, I know he's not going to pitch this week because he's serving his suspension, but two really good starts in a row. Are you guys buying back in? He's 68% owned.
Not technically yet. I didn't add him. I looked at him closely. One more of these, and I'll be all about it, sure.
Okay. One more of these, and he might be 80% owned.
He might be, yeah.
You know, I didn't give up on him quite as much as most people did, maybe because I'm a homer. But he has looked better. He has seems to be kind of taking from the Danny Duffy approach of attacking hitters, mixing up his pitches. I'm encouraged. We've seen this from Yordan Ventura many times in the past.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's get through the news. And then you know what? We got enough in the notes here where we can probably hit on everything that we need to. Terry Collins is not happy with his team's offense. He might send Michael Conforto to the minors. He's going to shake things up. The Mets can't hit, and they are a-losing lately.
I don't think he has the authority to do that, but Michael Conforto might get sent to the minors regardless.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, don't start him this week.
You don't think he has the authority to do that?
No, that's the general manager's call. I think he probably has some input.
In a lot of situations, the manager can just say, we're sending this guy down.
Maybe like 15, 20 years ago.
There is no way a manager sends somebody down without the general manager signing off.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's not true. I'm also saying there's a lot of situations where the manager saying we're sending this guy down is enough for the general manager to do it.
Well, maybe. But I don't know. How droppable is Conforto?
Three outfielder leagues, I would say fully droppable.
Jose Bautista's on the DL with a sprained big toe, and he will see a toe specialist. We should know more, I think, today about the extent of the injury. Manny Machado began serving his four-game suspension, so he's got three more. So would you be starting like an Aledmys Diaz or a Zach Cozart or an Eugenio Suarez or a Johnny Peralta over Manny Machado this week?
I would start any of those guys if they had seven games over Machado this week.
What if it's six? Six to three.
I think one of those guys probably has seven.
I'd only be sitting in period in a head-to-head situation, not a roto situation where the stakes for this week in and of itself aren't as high.
Mm-hmm. Dexter Fowler could end up on the DL, as mentioned. Malik Smith broke his thumb after being hit by a pitch, which kind of makes it easier to answer all those Malik Smith or this guy questions that we've been getting. So
this guy.
Go with this guy. What is two thumbs and is better than Malik Smith right now? Oh, he didn't even mean because he broke his thumb, you know? Little dicey to start Taijuan Walker, right?
Yeah, I'd be very weary of doing that.
He's left two straight starts with a foot injury. Travis d'Arnaud could be back tomorrow. The Dodgers made a likely worthless trade. They got infielder Chris Taylor from Seattle for pitcher Zach Lee. But they also sent Mike Bolsinger to Triple A.
Uh-huh.
Scott, I think you picked up Jose De Leon, right? In a league?
I did. I think he'll be up at some point this year, but they called up Carlos Frias, and I would guess he would be the one taking Mike Bolsinger's turn for now.
And Shelby Miller comes off the DL to make his first of two starts at Philadelphia. Hooray! At Colorado! Oh no! Shelby Miller is 52% owned. Is this the start of the Shelby Miller bounce back rest of season awesomeness?
I doubt it. It's a tough ask.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, awesomeness. I don't know that Shelby Miller will ever be awesome, first of all.
Goodness, then. Goodness.
I do think whatever's wrong with him, he's going to correct at some point, and probably this year. I don't know if it'll be right now. But, you know, the more interesting angle, I think, did you see who they sent down to get Shelby Miller back on the roster?
No.
Brandon Drury.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's been junk.
Well, he started Sunday and got a couple hits, I think.
Who do they face? I feel like he only starts against lefties.
I'm pretty sure it was a right-hander this time because they just had to put, David Peralta is unavailable. He might go back on the DL. So it seemed like Drury would be in line for more playing time.
It seems like they like Peter O'Brien more.
Well, yeah, it does seem like that, but there would be room for both if Peralta,
right?
Tomas hasn't been playing every day. But you know, it may just be a procedural thing because if Peralta does go on the DL, I think they're able to call Drury right back up. So keep an eye on that.
Yeah, you know, I've seen O'Brien. He's not ranking that high on the most added list, but Peter O'Brien got picked up in like, I don't know, like three or four of my leagues this weekend.
Probably because he had a two home run game.
He did.
I did add him in five outfielder roto league, is just hoping to get some cheap power there.
Yeah, he's like a two true outcomes guy.
Yeah.
Right? He homers and he strikes out. That's it.
I think his only three hits are home runs, right?
That sounds right to me. All right, guys. Are you starting this week Andrew McCutchen, who has seven home games, and three of them are against Bumgarner, Cueto, Samardzija, and Kershaw, and Giancarlo Stanton, who has seven home games, facing easier schedule for sure, with John Lester, Kyle Hendricks, John Lackey, Jason Hamill in there, but also Jorge De La Rosa, Bud Norris, and Matt Whistler?
Yeah, I'm probably starting both. For better or worse.
Like if you could choose between Michael Saunders, McCutchen, Stanton this week, would you start Saunders over both of them?
No.
I would not.
I think Saunders is just playing five games.
Okay.
So all those leagues where I was picking him up, I'm not sure I'm starting him in any of them because
okay.
of that.
What about like an Adam Eaton who had a big week?
I think I would start Adam Eaton over them. Over Stanton. I guess it's kind of starting. Did he kind of kind of start to come out of it with a few base hits at least this weekend.
All singles, but I think Stanton, let me see, I have it at 6 hits in his last 3 games. I'm pretty sure they're all singles.
Selling out for average.
Well, it might be the start of something. And I'm always afraid, particularly with somebody like Stanton, whose value is almost entirely home runs. Home runs come in bunches for every hitter. If you miss out on a 5-homer week from Stanton, you're missing out on a big percentage of what you paid for in the first place. So I'd hate to lose that just because I got impatient, quite frankly. That's what it would be, me being impatient.
But if you would have gotten impatient last week, it would have paid off for you.
Right, but you kind of just have to go with the percentage play, I feel like. And if you believe that Stanton is not a miserable player all of a sudden, and he is going to come out of it at some point, then you should always expect this upcoming week to be the week he comes out of it.
Here are some other guys who are swinging the bat a little bit. More could be some isolated incidents, but yeah, Brian McCann homered twice at Minnesota on Sunday, finally. Michael Taylor homered twice and stole a base at the Padres on Sunday. Franklin Gutierrez, 3 home runs off lefties over the weekend, and he's 7% owned. So this probably is not a good week for him based on what he'd said about Seth Smith. Would not benefit Franklin Gutierrez.
Right.
Peter O'Brien homered twice. Yasmani Tomas, same game, homered twice on Friday at Philadelphia. And Justin Turner, he's doing a little bit better lately. 2 home run game against Milwaukee on Friday.
He's been hot.
I feel like that's an entire list of guys that I came into the weekend thinking on Monday I'm probably going to be downgrading or dropping. And then all of them are like, nope. No, you're not.
That's what Stan's going to do.
Okay, I want to transition to pitchers now, but first I want to know if your team is struggling out there. If you're looking for a new league, I mean, we're 12 weeks in, your team's not doing anything, you want something else, you're sick of dealing with all those injuries, with all the McCutcheons and the Stantons of the world, you can join a new league every single day on FanDuel. And I love getting emails or tweets from people telling me they just won a lot of money on FanDuel. It happens all the time. Or they finish first or second in a tournament. It's such an awesome feeling. You got total ownership of your FanDuel lineup. It's a different kind of ownership than what you get with your seasonal fantasy. So give it a shot. Play on FanDuel.com as often as you'd like. Contests start at just $1. Win real money. Play more fantasy baseball. That's a great combo. And new users can sign up and use our promo code, which is HOMERUN. That's one word with no spaces, HOMERUN. If you use that promo code, enter your first league, win a cash prize in that league, or FanDuel is automatically refunding your entry fee up to $10 for additional play. So go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and sign up with our promo code, one word, HOMERUN. Tell me if these pitchers are over-owned. They're owned in up, you know, close to 90% of leagues or more. Joe Ross.
I've been a little underwhelmed by what Ross has done this year, I guess. But at the same time, like there hasn't been a stretch that been like made me feel like I could drop him. So I can understand him being 93%. Obviously, a lot of wins potential being with one of the best teams in baseball.
No, I feel like he's about right.
Yeah, that seems about right.
Okay. He is apparently struggling with lefties, and third time through the order, opponents are hitting .282. He has a .566 ERA.
The thing is, he's going to have a very easy schedule the rest of the year. Every pitcher in the NL East seemingly does.
Well, that usually doesn't take place until like the last, I don't know, 6 weeks of the season.
Well, that's when it will be like nothing but easy. But there are still good games mixed in.
Yeah, I'm sure. But he just went to San Diego. Oh, by the way, you know, we might have to start reevaluating the San Diego matchup because they're kind of hitting. And there are a lot of teams that that score a lot less runs than San Diego. But anyway, Marcus Stroman is 94% owned. He has a .523 ERA.
I don't know. Like, I was not a very big Stroman guy coming into the year, so I'm probably going to be more prone to saying, yes, he's overowned. I don't see what you would, like, in deeper leagues, yeah, hold on to him. And probably in roto leagues, too, but I don't know why, really. I don't know what you're hoping for.
Well, you're hoping he rebounds from this terrible stretch he's on and becomes the pitcher you drafted him to be.
Well, but I'm afraid the pitcher that he was drafted to be was somebody that he never was.
I'd be more likely to drop Stroman than Joe Ross, but I can't really see myself dropping. I don't have him anywhere, so we can't put this to the test, but I don't see myself dropping him.
Gio Gonzalez, 93% owned.
I could do that a little more easily. The one thing I was holding on to during this rough stretch for him was that he was still getting a lot of strikeouts. In fact, more strikeouts than he had been getting. But then he only got three in this most recent start. And
I think he's the most droppable of the three so far.
Yeah.
Gio, yeah. Drew Pomeranz, 91% owned.
No.
I'm not dropping him.
No.
Lance McCullers, 91% owned.
I've been tempted in a 10-team league to drop McCullers. You know, a lot of walks.
Stop with walking everybody, Lance McCullers.
Yeah.
What the heck?
But I haven't yet, so I think I'm just going to say no to that one. Just say no.
Hisashi Iwakuma, 4.18 ERA, 67 strikeouts and 90 and a third.
I only have him in one league. It's 12-team head-to-head, so fairly shallow, and I haven't really been tempted to drop him. I picked him up after somebody else dropped him. At the same time, I feel like he's pretty replaceable. So.
Yeah, he's starting to look a lot more like Edinson Volquez than the range of pitcher where he was drafted.
Yeah, one thing, though, with Iwakuma in a points league, five straight starts of seven or more innings, and he's done it without throwing 100 pitches.
Yeah.
So at least he's doing that.
Yeah, yeah. And that I think does make him more worthwhile in points and then Roto, but categories.
And then I don't know why I still am holding on to Francisco Liriano and why I even picked him up in a league in which he got dropped.
I wanted to pick him up in that league, but I just couldn't justify it.
He's got about a 160 whip right now, 1.6. I mean, career high walk percentage, lowest strikeout percentage since 2011. By far the highest home run to fly ball rate of his career. He's just having a terrible year. So Liriano, what do you guys think? 84% owned.
I think if Ray Searage could fix him once, I don't see why he couldn't do it again. But when you see Liriano start to get dropped in other leagues and not picked up, I think that's your cue that you could probably
make
better use of that roster spot.
I think if I had Iwakuma and Liriano on the same roster, and there was somebody exciting that I wanted to pick up, I'd be more likely to keep Liriano on my bench than I would be Iwakuma. I'm not starting either one of them.
But the problem with keeping a pitcher on the bench is, the roster spots I reserve for pitchers, I want to be able to use them all, because pitcher is the one position that you are changing out constantly based on matchups and number of
starts. Well, you're going to have pitchers on your bench this week in all of your leagues.
Right, but...
But he'd like to be able to use those guys next week if they have a good matchup, but you're still a little while away from using Liriano.
One good start from Liriano and I'm not suddenly going to trust him in my lineup.
He'll be a two-star pitcher in week 13 probably, because he pitched on Friday, which I'm not sure, but it could line him up for Wednesday this week and then two starts next week. So
unless he strikes out a dozen or something.
Well, he could do that. That's
I know. I might be tempted to use him in that hypothetical.
Jason Hamill struck out a dozen yesterday. That's pretty awesome.
You mean Kyle Hendricks?
Kyle Hendricks, yes. Struck out a dozen.
I guess I'm on board with it. It just bugs me that every other start he throws like five innings.
Oh, here's a good stat about Kyle Hendricks, if I could get it. I think I know it off the top of my head. He's something like the number 44 starting pitcher in points leagues because he doesn't throw innings. And he's like number 26 or something in Roto because his whip, his ERA is under 3. His whip is really good.
Well, it's not just the innings that are holding him back in points. I mean, I guess it might be related to it, but for pitching for the Cubs, he has a surprisingly ordinary win-loss record.
Yeah, he's like 5-6 or something.
Which I think will correct it. It would probably, I mean, if he's going five innings, it's going to be hard to win ever, but I would guess that improves over time.
Hendricks is the number 44 pitcher in points, number 31 in Roto, with a 2.94 ERA and a 1.02 whip. So, yeah, I mean, look, he's 92% owned and coming off a great start. He's been frustrating, but so have starting pitchers in general this year.
Yeah.
Dallas Keuchel, though, had a very good start, and in his last six starts, Dallas Keuchel has 4 walks, 40 strikeouts, and 38 and a third.
That's very encouraging.
A lot of runs, though.
It's a good matchup.
Yeah,
it was a good matchup against Cincinnati, but I thought they were good against lefties.
I think that they had a pretty good run against lefties that we really didn't understand why. I believe Cozart and Eugenio Suarez were largely responsible for it, and as we've seen, they've kind of dropped off.
Okay. Cole Hamels is a guy. I traded him in our podcast league for Jacob deGrom. And
good deal.
I mean, I think so, but at least Hamels is going deep into games. DeGrom still, I mean, six innings, and it's just it's frustrating. But Hamels is giving up a ton of walks and a ton of homers. Most walks and most home runs allowed per nine in his career. So I don't know. What do you think about him? He's got a 2.88 ERA. He's on a nice little run here.
I think the home runs may be a little bit fluky. The walks, not so much. He's kind, and he's always been a guy that danced around outside of the strike zone a little bit, but he's doing a Liriano impression this year. Last I looked before this start, no pitcher was throwing less pitches in the strike zone than Cole Hamels.
Wow.
He's just getting guys to chase a lot.
Well, would you try? Because I feel like I sold high on him, but I'm not sure. But would you try to upgrade from Cole Hamels, or are you okay with him?
I would. I think the fact he has a 7-1 record and 2.88 ERA, that is going to make him appear better than at least I feel like he has been this year. And obviously, great track record. He could turn this whole thing around. But I see warning signs here between the home runs and the walks. And I would want, if you could get a DeGrom or another, what I perceive to be a legitimate ace like that, then yeah, I would do that.
Okay. Jameson Taillon, just kind of picking and choosing here. 82% owned, and finally did not face the Mets, and it did not go well. Three home runs, four runs on eight hits and four innings at the Cubs last night. 82% owned.
Pitching prospects are the worst.
I'm still holding on to Taillon. Yeah, in fact, if he's available in any of my leagues, I'm picking him up.
Would you rather have Taillon or Matt Moore?
Taillon.
Probably, yeah.
Taillon or Adam Conley?
Oh, Taillon by a lot. Conley's
dead to you?
No, I think he could become good, but he's not anywhere close yet.
Now, when you see the five walks on his start on Friday for Adam Conley, do keep in mind two of them were intentional. So, you know, not okay. Great. Would have been three walks and 5 2/3.
But still, three walks and one hit. That's a pretty good start.
He pitched well.
Okay, but count up his quality starts this year, and it's embarrassing.
I think he's been overrated, Adam Conley. He's owned in the same amount of leagues as Zach Davies, who is killing it right now. He's got a 0.96 ERA in his last four starts.
Yeah, I'd probably still rather have Conley.
I think I'd take Davies at this point just because there's like no scenario where I could start Conley right now.
Yes, if he's facing the Phillies or the Braves, you're definitely starting him.
I don't think so. I don't have any faith in him to deliver on that matchup.
Okay.
But Zach Davies is
he's having
been a strike throwing machine and a very good changeup, which was always the scouting report on him. I think it's starting to manifest though. He's kind of looking like a poor man's Aaron Nola.
So you got a number of pitchers here in the same ownership range: James Shields, Matt Moore, Adam Conley, Zach Davies, Brandon Finnegan, Archie Bradley, Cody Reed. I'll throw him in there. Who are your favorites?
Oh, that was a lot of names there.
Shields, Moore, Conley, Davies, Finnegan, Archie Bradley, Cody Reed.
Maybe Conley.
Conley's your favorite of that group.
Maybe Moore. Man, I feel like Conley and Moore are pretty similar.
I don't know.
I mean, the only difference is that Moore's had two good starts recently and Conley hasn't. But if Conley had two good starts and Moore had two bad starts, then
I feel like Conley's had so, like, Moore, when he's good, he's as good as just about anybody. Conley just is like consistently mediocre.
No, I don't think that's true at all. He's had some really good starts and some really terrible starts.
He has had a couple good starts where he made headlines, but he doesn't have any like normal good starts ever. He has like what, four or five quality starts all year.
Yeah.
Moore's my number one. Bradley is number two.
I mean, Matt Moore only has
bounce
six.
Back start. Yeah, well.
He went through a stretch just before this two start stretch
where he was
five
really
runs,
bad.
Four, yeah.
I know. He was really bad, but I would rather see streaky because I at least know the good starts are going to be good than just consistently 5 1/3, 3 earned runs, 5 1/3, 2 earned runs. That's not going to do anything for you.
Now, there is one guy who's owned in more leagues than all of them, but is still available in about 30% of CBSSports.com leagues. And that man is John Gray, who has been really good in 8 of his last 9 starts, except for one start at St. Louis where he got destroyed for 9 earned runs and 3 1/3. I mean, if you take that out, then John Gray would be having an outstanding stretch of 9 starts, including a lot of home starts in there. So,
yes.
Yeah,
I'm really struggling with what to do with him this week. I think his only start is at Yankee Stadium.
The Yankees can't hit good pitching. They can't. I'm serious. I mean,
they've been much, much, much better at home.
Yeah. But really, like, it's against bad pitching. Like, last time they were at home, they faced the Angels staff, and, like, Shoemaker did great until he gave up a couple home runs in, like, the 7th inning that left him in too long. But, I don't know. The Yankees don't scare me.
Yeah, the Yankees, I mean, I think the Yankees are one of the best matchups in baseball when they're on the road.
Yep. Just ask Pete Alasco.
At home, they do scare me a little bit.
That's fair. A little bit. But, okay. So, tough call there with John Gray, at least for Heath.
But he needs to be owned.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's under-owned just because people see that ERA and they don't break it down.
I would definitely rather have Gray than anyone you mentioned in the group before.
Yeah.
How about David Robertson? You guys worried about him?
No.
Yeah, everything's going wrong there.
Yeah, wow. I thought they were good. The Red Sox think Eduardo Rodriguez is tipping his pitches. Troy Tulowitzki back from a quad injury. Clay Buchholz will rejoin the Red Sox rotation and pitch on Tuesday. Anibal Sanchez will maybe rejoin the Red Sox rotation. Matt Boyd was sent down. Bruce Rondon is back for Detroit. Pitched really well in middle relief.
Who was that?
Bruce Rondon.
Okay.
Boston put Rusne Castillo on waivers after he signed a 7-year, $72.5 million deal a couple years ago. Tyler Chatwood left Saturday's start with back spasms. Santiago Casilla was on the paternity list this past weekend, so he didn't get any save chances. It was Cody Guerin getting the save chances, not Hunter Strickland. So maybe that's a peek into who the handcuff, so to speak, is. And that's pretty much it. Mark Teixeira could be back Saturday. Alex Gordon's on a rehab assignment. And now it's time for emails. So, or unless, Heath, you have any DFS advice for us?
You know, I think it's more TV advice tonight. You get to watch Kirschberg. Yes.
That kind of sounds like a dermatologist, to be quite honest with you, but
I am going to stack the Mariners against Big Pelf.
Okay,
and
good luck.
I know, but I'm going to keep doing it. And I think a good opportunity in tournaments is build a lineup with Kershaw, and then just build the exact same lineup with one upgrade with Strasburg. And that upgrade for me would probably be somebody like Robinson Cano.
Okay.
Because, I mean, one of those guys is going to have a monster night tonight. And it's whoever gets the win.
Okay. Yeah, you would think so. Kershaw is so much better than Strasburg. And Strasburg's so good, but I mean,
yeah,
so much better. So other lousy pitchers going tonight. Jeff Locke is facing the Giants. Yolisha Sean at Houston.
Yeah, that Jeff Locke one scares me a little bit, because that's not a fantastic matchup against lefties. Like, there's not a lot of guys you feel like you have to get in your lineup from the Giants when they're facing a lefty.
Cubs are facing Jaime Garcia. He's been struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go to the emails. This one's from Joe Pig.
Ew.
He says, Dear... Oh, no, I lost the emails. Wow.
Awesome.
Okay, so here's what happened.
I've got it.
Okay, good. Yeah, you read it. I for whatever reason, that page of notes didn't print. And so I went to look it up online in the email that I sent to you guys, and my browser just closed. So
I'm here. Yeah. So, dear Raylan, Boyd, and Art. You guys don't know that one?
No.
Wow, you're terrible. It's official. Chris Archer is the new Corey Kluber. That's my only explanation. How much longer can I ride out this merry-go-round, up-and-down season of a disappointing number two pitcher? I can't trade him. I can't drop him. He's like a tenured old professor at community college. Seriously, I need help. Do I send out and then cancel a bunch of trade offers to teams and see which one bites? Coincidentally, that method works, by the way.
Do I send out and then cancel a bunch of trade offers?
You send out the trade offers and then cancel them, and then somebody says, oh, I saw that trade offer. yeah, I decided I didn't want to do it. And then they start negotiating with you.
Mm. Yeah, I've never had success with that method, but I'm glad it works for Joe Pig. This is a loaded email because first, I don't know that I agree with the premise Chris Archer is Corey Kluber. They're very different pitchers.
Yeah, Archer's not that good.
I would rather have Kluber.
Archer is still an elite strikeout pitcher. Obviously, whip issues and win issues, but yeah, I don't know. I'm still happy to have him on my team, so I don't know that I can. Would I take DeGrom or Harvey over him if you can work out that kind of trade? Sure, but
well, you're not going to sell high on a pitcher that's having the worst year of his career.
Well, I don't know that. I don't know that that's clearly selling high. DeGrom and Harvey both struggled against the Braves, so
okay.
Who's Raylan Boyd and Art?
I don't know.
Oh,
from Dan. Would you drop Iwakuma for Chatwood?
Chatwood's on the DL now. That one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay, I wouldn't have anyway.
Okay, so Buzzing sent us a tweet. You've probably gotten this question a lot this week, but should I trust Greinke at Colorado and Fulmer versus Seattle? I have Kennedy as an alternative.
Yeah, I think I would do, but even Greinke at Colorado, just because the run he's been on, I think I'd be willing to do that.
Okay, I can take it from here, Heath.
Okay, I thought I did a pretty good job.
You did an outstanding job.
If you don't want me to, it's like Kennedy's only start is at the Mets.
You weren't having as much input on the questions when you were reading them, and that
I like that part.
You like that? Okay, yeah. All right.
Heath, grade the trade from Chris. It's your punch out, whiff, and K. I know them.
Okay.
12-team head-to-head points league, 5 outfielders. I give Michael Saunders, I get Justin Upton.
I'll give it a solid B.
Scott?
B minus.
Okay. We got Jason says, hey, Snowball 2, Santa's Little Helper, and Stampy. Heath, who are those? Who are they?
Those I.
You
don't
come
know.
On, dude. Did you ever watch The Simpsons?
No.
For God's sake.
I stopped watching cartoons around age 9.
This is...
That was fine. Like, what year was age 9 for you?
That would have been 88.
Just okay, before just the Simpsons started.
You missed a lot. Would you drop either Aaron Sanchez or Julio Urias or Blake Snell in a keeper league where I could keep Urias and Snell in round 15 or later and Sanchez in round 10? To pick up Sean Kelly, Cody Reed, CeCe Sabathia, or Daniel Mengden. Sean Kelly, Cody Reed, CeCe Sabathia, or Daniel Mengden. So
no.
You'd be dropping Sanchez, Arias, and Snell. It's a keeper league. What do you think?
No.
No, I wouldn't. I understand what the concern is with Sanchez. I mean, heading to the bullpen sometime in the, I don't know how near future.
Yeah. And Arias may have one start left, but.
For keepers, you got to keep those guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, unless it's a situation where you can only keep like 4 or 5 players.
And I would really think in a keeper league, if you're like, because the one way I could understand wanting to do that is if you're in position to win the league this year and neither one of those guys are going to help you down the stretch, but I would think they've got some trade value. You don't drop them.
Last one, and then I'm going to update the Twitter poll. Sam and Raleigh, grade the trade. Give Cueto and Jay Bruce. Give Cueto and Bruce. Get Kluber and Stanton.
I think that's still a huge upgrade from Bruce to Stanton. And yeah, I think Kluber's even an upgrade from Cueto. So
No, absolutely not. You did not just say that.
Yes, I did.
It is an upgrade from Jay Bruce to Stanton. I will agree with that part. I think Cueto and Kluber are right in that same tier. I'm not going to say it's an upgrade.
Right. It's close.
Get with the times. ERA matters. Hashtag that one.
Get with the times.
So, Twitter poll update here. 421 votes. Al gets 30%. Heath gets 42%. Scott still at 17%. Chris at 11%.
I think there's a clear issue here.
What?
There are too many people that were worried that Al was too old to have a Facebook.
Or out of town, like you said he was.
I think that's probably what it is.
Yes, it is. I wish I was too old to have a Facebook.
Then get off Facebook already. Stop bashing it. Do something about it.
Well, he doesn't want to because he wants people to wish him happy birthday this year.
I like to spy on people.
Very good. That's Scott White, a creepy version of Scott White, a giddy version of Heath Cummings, and just the normal ranting, raving Adam Azer. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of Fantasy Baseball Today.